All right, so let's get to hour number three. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome. In this third hour, I'm going to add a third guest. Ross Tucker is going to join me at 11:40. I want to get his thoughts on Tom Brady's announcement, and we'll get into a few more things with him. We already had Jamie Dixon, the head basketball coach at TCU. We already had Eric Allen, who was just awesome. I love talking about the NFL back in the day. Eric Allen came on. We talked about Philadelphia when he played for the Eagles. We talked about this Eagles team. We talked a little bit about the Raiders. Vic came in and took a run at, quote, motivational speaker guy and tried to take down some of the legends. I'm not going to bite. You can't hook me like that. I still love the space. I still have a podcast that I'm really proud of. I was talking to an author friend of mine about a book that we're going to work on, that we've been working on to get started. So I'm still all about that. And I know better than... I'm not going to go and run down Jocko Willink's resume, all right? Anybody who knows anything about the guy knows that the guy is an ultimate alpha. Like, some of the biggest badasses in the world want nothing to do with this guy. You know, if you know anything about Jocko beyond his Twitter feed and his digital watch... If you ever see this guy in person or physically or even on video or you listen to him, you know you don't want any part of that. Jocko's the guy who's been on the same squat rack for the last quarter century. Jocko's the guy who spends every day working jiu-jitsu. Jocko's the guy who works his mind. Jocko surfs. Jocko is one of the most fascinating people I know and one of the most dangerous people I know and a former Navy SEAL, and I would imagine probably saw some pretty horrific things. Probably saw very many people that he cared deeply about die. May have even killed a guy or two himself. Anyway, this is what Vic does. You can't hook me, Vic. You are entitled to a platform, Vic, which I'm happy to give to you because you won the smack off, but you're not hooking me, dude. You know you can't hook me with that stuff. Whether you believe it or not. And knowing you, Vic, you do believe everything you just said. Vic, when you come out with your motivational book, I promise I'll read it. I'll even write the foreword, Vic. You being the ultimate alpha. Let's see what we got here. Wow, 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 wow. Vic is the man. He is so inspirational. I'm reinventing myself today thanks to him. I'm quitting my career. I'm going to buy a case of Mountain Dew, a big-ass bag of Funyuns, and I'm going to ask my parents if I can move into their basement. Sign Mark Moda. He wants that, yo. That's a win for him. That's a dub for him. Forget Mark Moda. Wells, Vic couldn't hold Willink's Jocko. Dude, pretty much nobody can. I was with one of those guys who is one of those guys who informed me that none of those guys want to mess with Jocko. And that's from, quote, one of those guys. Ponus Wagner, quote, the rare, please run him already, call from Victor. Victor also let us know that he had at least a minute more. I'm like, dude, you probably had a minute too much. Vic was not done, obviously. Eric says, Vic should have been run 30 seconds in. Like I've always said, if you've won the smack off, you get a little more run, a little more runway. You get perks. You get bennies. You know, quote, stars get calls. And no pun intended. You know, like star athletes, they get calls. Stars get calls that others don't get. So Vic gets a little more privilege. So he had a little more runway. Did Alvin DeLauro fall asleep at the switch? Vic should have been run at the first dead air moment. Step your game up, Vic. And Alvy. Hey, I don't know what that was. That's why I said, hey, Vic, where are you, man? Where are you? And then he popped back in. Rich Kane. Y'all getting pissed at Vic are giving him exactly the reaction he wants. Of course. Hey, Rome. Vic is probably the worst caller to win a smack off. His best performance of the year was the year he didn't call. Hashtag Vic in no call. JP in Riverside, war, Willie and KC resets. So you're calling Vic the worst, but you're warring Willie.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I don't know. What it, Vic? Vic actually has been fire in the smack off the last couple of years. Vic is still relevant. The game has not passed him by. I think actually, like, on the one hand, I want to say Vic made that call because he woke up and he's like, you know what? I'll stir some crap up today. What can I do? What can I do to do that? I know. I'll take a run at Rome's side hustle to his side hustle. I'll take a run at all those guys. Part of me thinks that he's just Vic being Vic. But part of me, knowing Vic and Vic's strong opinion of himself, I think that Vic thinks that he's better and smarter and tougher and more disciplined than all the guys he just took a run at. So you tell me which one it is. Is it Vic just doing Vic things and getting you to react? Or does Vic really think that he is more accomplished than Jocko? It could be either one of those things, honestly. It could be either one of those things. You really never know with Vic, right? All right, anyway, that's that. 1-800-636-8686. Ross Tucker is coming up later on in the hour. I'm going to have a conversation after the program with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. He has a documentary out on Showtime, which is going to premiere on the 3rd, so Friday night. It has not dropped yet, but I have it. I've seen the advanced copy, and I'm going to run him down. He's another one of those guys that I used to interview on that same TV show that I mentioned to Eric Allen. So I'm anxious to get caught up with him. That will be the Jim Rome podcast. That will push out a little bit later on today. In the meantime, Broncos country, because of Tom Brady and a few more things, we haven't gotten here yet. I did not forget about you. Broncos country.
Broncos country.
You hyped?
Broncos country.
You hyped?
Let's ride.
I mean, are you or are you not sure? I see both sides of this. Because that was one long, strange coaching search. Yes, you got your guy in Sean Payton. Or did you? Was he actually your first choice? And if he was your first choice, what took so long to get him to sign on the line that is dotted? You whacked Nate Can't Hack It before the season was over, presumably to get a head start on every team in need of a head coach. Yet it still took this long to get this deal done. And I'm sure that Peyton was probably just negotiating and ended up jamming you nearly as hard as the Seahawks did when they sent you Cringerus. But there was a report like 5 minutes ago that Peyton was actually going to return back to the broadcast booth. Which leads me to believe that you actually did back the Brinks truck up and drop a bleep ton of cash on him because you had already dropped a bleep ton of cash on Cringerus. Only to see him drop a bleep ton of dump in his pants.
You have a big dump in your
last
pants.
Season. So what are you getting here? I'm not saying you're not getting a damn good coach. I'm not saying that you didn't get the best available coach. You may have gotten both those things. I'm just saying that it took a really weird, strange, circuitous route to finally get this done. And then just because you got this guy, even if he is your guy, it doesn't guarantee anything. No matter how many games he's won, no matter what he's done in the past, it doesn't guarantee anything. And it's too bad it doesn't, because what you just did really was you doubled down on arguably the worst NFL trade ever. And you're going to pay a ransom to a dude to try to fix a dude that you're paying way more than a ransom to in the first place. Which begs the question, what if this was not a Nate Can't Hack It issue? I mean, don't get this part twisted. Pervin Liar cannot believe how ill-equipped Can't Hack It was to be an NFL head coach. Oh, my bad. Happy hump day, Perv. Should have hit that hours ago. Hack It clearly couldn't. Hack It should have never gotten that job. Hack It absolutely should have been fired. And of course, one of the reasons Russ was so horrible last season was Hackett. But clearly, he's not the only reason. Far from it. Like, what if it wasn't, at its core, a Hackett problem?
Far from it.
What if it was a Cringerous problem? What if it was all Russ? Or mostly Russ? What if Russ is broken? What if Russ is unfixable? What if Sean Payton can't put Russ back together again because nobody can? I mean, it's pretty clear, for instance, that Russ didn't give a damn what Kent Hackett had to say. And that Payton's going to come in with a hell of a lot more clout than Kent Hackett. But what if Russ doesn't give a damn what Payton has to say either? What if Russ doesn't give a damn what anybody has to say? I mean, listen, Payton's not putting up with it. Payton is not going to put up with Russ's cringe. Payton's not going to put up with Russ's corn. Payton's not going to put up with Russ's sense of entitlement. I know all this, but that might not be the issue. The issue may be, what if this guy is already a lost cause? What if this guy really is washed? What if this guy is irreparably broken? What if it's a case where nobody can fix Russ, Payton or otherwise? Is it a case where Denver is doing everything they can to get a return on the worst investment ever, and then on top of that just made another bad investment that's not going to pay off? I don't know. I like Sean Payton. But don't assume that because he and Drew Brees were so amazing together that Payton can come in here and have a similar effect or a similar relationship with Russ. These two situations are nothing close to one another. I mean, Brees, in his prime, was the ultimate pro. He did everything he possibly could to get whatever he could out of himself as a player and a leader. This is a really different deal than a past his prime, but still entitled, cringerous. Now, that's not to say that Russ isn't dedicated. Russ is dedicated. Russ is a worker. Russ is dedicated. He is. Russ is dedicated to being great. He's that. Russ is dedicated to winning. I believe that. But Russ is also dedicated to cringe. Russ is also dedicated to corn. Russ is also dedicated to cheese. And Russ may not be the most coachable guy at times. Russ might not be the best teammate at times. And just because Payton had amazing success with Drew Brees does not ensure that he's going to have it with Russ, especially this version of Russ. Payton's a damn good coach, but he's not a damn miracle worker. He can't turn water into wine. I only hope that he can de-cringe an uncorn Russ.
Just corn.
Then again, like I said, he's not a damn miracle worker. Hey, Broncos country, how you feel
Broncos
about this?
Broncos country, let's ride.
Hey, Broncos country.
Broncos country.
Let's corn.
Let's ride.
Hey, Broncos country.
Broncos country.
Let's cringe.
Let's ride.
Thank you, guys. Broncos country.
Hey, what do you think?
Let's ride.
Man, I know what they're doing. They are throwing so much money at a guy to try to fix somebody that they have thrown so much more money at. They're hoping to get some ROI. They're hoping that this guy can reach Russ, fix Russ. But what if Russ is broken and you can't fix him? What are they supposed to do, Rome? They got to do something, right? I get it. I get it. I'm just saying, don't assume that Sean Payton's a savior and can fix this guy. He might not be able to. And can you really change Russ? We're going to find out. Payton can change the culture and has more clout than Hackett, who had none. But that doesn't mean he can fix Russ. You tell me. I'm curious. Hey, Denver. Reaction. Van Sizzle.
Broncos country.
Sean Payton is probably an upgrade over Nathaniel Hackett. Signed, the BIC is a better caller than Drizzle. Andy from Denver. We know this. I understand this. Nobody's saying that. Of course, everybody is an upgrade over Hackett. Except Perv.
Get out of Dodge.
Drizzle is getting like the Matt in L.A. treatment. He's been catching so many strays since that beef with John in New York City started. I never in a million years would have thought that one, John would go at a guy like that, or two, that it would go as well as it's gone for John and as badly as it's gone for Drizzle. I could have never ever seen that happening.
I can't call it Maine.
Womie Wome. It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in the jungle. Certainly one of the most unpredictable things I've ever seen in the jungle.
What's happening, partner?
If John had called me up one day and said, Womie Wome, my brother, I have an idea. None of you do this, and I wouldn't entertain it anyway because the show is the show. But if John somehow had back-channeled his way to me and said, Womie Wome, I got an idea.
Womie Wome.
I'm going to go with Driz. What do you think? I'd say, John, you're my guy, dude. You are the only clone that went to my Hall of Fame induction. You paid good, hard-earned money. My man, I would say that's not a good idea. I would not try him. But Womie Wome, I think I got this. John, don't do it. Don't try him, dude. Don't do it. John, I'm going to be real with you, bro. Because I like you.
John.
Not everybody likes you, John. I'd even venture a guess that until this worked out for you, a lot of people didn't like you, but I always did. I would have said, John, don't do it. Don't try him. But luckily, he didn't check with me because he did, and it went really well for him. And now, Driz is getting the Matt in L.A. treatment, catching strays every single day. And why? Because John got over?
Take my golden ticket.
Incredible. Rome, F them picks.
F them picks.
Who needs anybody else when we have Cringerous and Coach Payton? They can win us championships without anyone else. Signed, Broncos country.
Broncos country?
I know. I think some of Broncos country believes that. Oh, man. Here we go again. She's feeling it. I'm going to read this as it's written. Quote, why in the hell would Sean Payton want to coach a 5'11", 35-year-old stale cake when he could have waited a year and maybe gotten the chance to coach a 6'6", 25-year-old ice cream cake? Dean Spandex should have grown a pair and fired Brandon Stale Breath this year. Now who is out there that is good enough to coach Sugar Plum Muffin Kitten? I would take the job, but I don't know jack about coaching. I only know lusting. Signed, Kathleen in Omaha. Listen, there's got to be a fake Kathleen or a lot of them, because there's no way she's as good at being Kathleen as this fake Kathleen is. Dude, is there not a handle or a timestamp or a way to find out who this is? There's no way it's her. Chuck, pick me up real quick. Because if this is in fact her, she's actually improving. She's getting better at being her. Chuck, can you document where that came from? Is this a fake Kathleen, or is this the actual Kathleen?
I mean, I'm definitely suspicious, but I think it's the actual Kathleen because it came via an email. And the same email she sent in her top 175 singers list on also that I talked with her on the phone about. So I know that was her. I think it's her.
Did somebody, I don't want to be this guy, but could somebody have hacked into her account to become a fake Kathleen? Believe me, they're idiots with too much time on their hands.
Yeah, it seems possible.
Because, I mean, her content is almost as strong as her thirst at this point. I never thought that possible.
She's like, volume shooting,
dude, she's getting better.
Yeah, she is. And last we heard, she didn't even have internet at home. That's why it's interesting that all of a sudden she's emailing multiple times every day. She used to have to go to the library to send us anything.
Okay, that's a tell. That's a red flag.
Yeah, a little bit.
Did she find money, or is she going James Kelly and pirating things?
I'll have to ask her when she calls up tomorrow for the beef.
All right. Keep that in mind. That's because that's her best content yet. You know, for so long, she would just come on and get all flustered and puke up a few ice cream cakes, not say hello, muffin this, carrot cake that. But all of a sudden now, like, she's coherent. And, like, her lust is lucid. Huh, I like that. You see what I just did there? All of a sudden now, her lust is lucid. It's coherent. It's improving. Very few people improve. She is. Which makes me wonder whether or not there's a fake. But Chalk just said, this submission came from the same email address as the 175 list. Who in their right mind would list 175 of the top beefcakes in rock? But Thirsty Kathleen. I don't know. If it's a fake, it is so good. It is so good. You know how you normally say the fake is better than the original, and it's not? If this is a fake, this is so much better than the original. And if it's not a fake, bravo, Methylene. Bravo. That is such an amazing email. Why in the hell would Sean Payton want to coach a 5'11"? You know why, Kathleen? Because he's not there to date the quarterback. He's not lusting after the quarterback. Let's go to the phones. There she is. I like it, man. It's like the Kathleen signal went out to the sky. Here she is. Let's go to Omaha. Hey, Kathleen, you have to actually have a conversation with me. Hello, Kathleen. Say it. Say it. Say it. Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Hey. Call
me
by my name.
It's me. It really is. Yeah, I normally would from the library.
Kathleen, read it back to me. Kathleen, read it back to me. Read it back to me. What did you send me?
Why did Sean Payton want to coach a 35-year-old stale cake when he could wait a year and coach a 6'6", 25-year-old ice cream cake? It's like, come on, it was me. My cousin, he bought me a phone last year. That's why.
So you're
more often.
So okay, so that's why you're participating more and more, because you have a phone now that your cousin bought you.
Yes.
I like it. So it really is you. It's not a fake you.
Yes, it is. No, it really is me.
Okay, so what kind of phone did he buy you?
Samsung Galaxy AOS3 or whatever it's called.
Whatever it is. All right. Is he paying the bill for it too, or are you covering that?
No, I have to. Okay. He just bought it for me, but I have to pay for it each month myself.
Sorry about that, Kathleen. At least he bought you the phone. Sorry you got to pay for it too. But I'm glad.
It's not that hard, but he did it for me. And so I've been... It's mine now.
Okay, good. All right, good. I buy it. I accept it. It really is you. I thought it was a fake you. Because no offense, Kathleen, I didn't think you were as good at being you as the fake you was at being you. But this really is you. I believe you. I believe you.
Yeah.
You're just getting better at being you. You are becoming your best version of you, Kathleen. Good job. Talk to you tomorrow when you have something to beef about. Probably a sugar plum muffin kitten. All right. Bye, Kathleen. Goodbye, Kathleen. Notice she didn't say hello to me still. I like, hey, I have to pay the bill. Oh, you have to pay the bill. Your cousin bought you the phone, Kathleen. You get to pay the bill. Hey. You don't have to pay the bill. She is getting better, though. And not only is she thirsty and lusty, she's angry. I like that. I like mad thirst. That really was her. She nailed half that call. Vengeful thirst. Angry thirst. I don't want to say violent thirst because that's not good. But it's vengeful. Like she can't believe that Sean Payton would coach a, quote, 5'11", 35-year-old stale cake when he could have waited a year and maybe gotten the chance to coach a 6'6", 25-year-old ice cream cake. I like how Cringerous is stale cake, but Justin Herbert is ice cream cake. Only Kathleen could describe quarterbacks as such. All right, I got to get out so I can stay on the clock. She's getting better. That is her. Stay tuned. I've got Ross Tucker coming up a little bit later on. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how at Discover you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, you want to talk about amazing? Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms to apply. Really quickly in ATP, because it's Wednesday and then I need a break. ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and the service you need from the professional parts people you know you can trust. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Womie Wome. The Gimme Back My Son drop got played earlier. It's one of my favorite jungle sound bites, but I've never heard the full context or where it's from. Joe in Arkansas. Ward John in New York City. 10-8 rounds over Drizzle. Gimme Back My Son is from a favorite movie. That's Mel Gibson. Here's the entire drop.
Is if I don't get the cash in 1 hour, this kid is dead.
I don't get my son back, and I mean real soon. You better kill yourself, because when I catch up with you, I'm gonna take my time.
By the time we're finished, you're gonna wish you weren't born.
I'll have your head on a pike. You understand me?
You, I'll kill him right now.
I want to talk.
You kill him. You kill yourself. You mother. Give me back my son.
Hello.
You want him?
Yes.
You want him?
Get him.
How's that? How much better is that now? Now that you know what that was taken from. When that movie dropped in 1996, I'm not even kidding you. I don't know how much money they spent advertising that movie, but it was on every single commercial break. It was always, give me back my son, give me back my son, give me back my son. So one day on the air for like 3 hours, I just played it on a loop. Give me back my son. I got in a lot of trouble for it too. Programmers were not amused, nor were the suits for the company I used to work with. But we always kept that. The Gimme Back My Son drop. Isn't that incredible, that rant? I wish we had done that sooner. I'm so glad you asked. That is incredible in full context. I forgot how incredible that was. At the very end where he's so flustered. Gimme back my son! After they F-bomb each other. Let me hear that one more time, Alvy.
The thing is, if I don't get the cash in 1 hour, this kid is dead!
I don't get my son back, and I mean real soon. You better kill yourself. Because when I catch up with you, I'm going to take my time.
By the time we're finished, you're going to wish you weren't born.
I'll have your head on a pike. You understand me?
You! I'll kill him right now.
I want to talk.
You kill him. You kill yourself, you mother. Give me back my son.
Hello.
You want him?
Yes.
Give me back my son, you mother.
Daddy.
Oh, that's so awesome. Hey, Joe, does that answer your question? Spoiler alert. The kid lived. He got his son back.
Give me back my son.
Pat in Seattle, sorry I wrecked that for you. I know you were going to see that movie this weekend. Hey, Pat in Seattle, sorry. I know that was definitely on your seg. You were going to check that out this weekend. The kid lived. He got his son back.
Give me back my son.
Mel sounds pissed. When we come back, Ross Tucker. Ross played with Tom Brady. He'll have thoughts. That would be next. Stay tuned. I do owe you a sports update, so here you go. Welcome back. One last segment. Big, big NFL day. So if it's a big NFL day, you know I got to run this guy down. Big-time NFL analyst, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is an announcer for, among others, CBS Sports, Odyssey, Westwood One. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, appreciate you. Ross, what's going on? How are you?
I am doing fantastic, always. How about yourself, Jim?
Same, Ross, same. And I know that. Hey, listen, so Tom Brady made it official. He retired this morning. First things first, did you expect that to be his decision? And then what is your reaction to that?
No, I definitely did not, actually. There had just been so much talk, so many rumors that he was going to keep playing. And people were already talking about the Raiders, maybe the Niners. And last year at this time, there had been so much talk because I called his last game last year, that playoff game against the Rams, even before that game, people that know him well were heavily hinting that he was going to be done. So I knew, at least in my mind, that there was a pretty good chance that was his last game. I was surprised that he came back this year. To be honest, this year was kind of a bummer for me, Jim, to watch him not play very well, be on a team with a losing record. You know, one of the things that's unique about Tom playing 23 years is I don't think you'll find a single teammate of his, and there's got to be obviously hundreds at this point, thousands, I guess, that would ever say a bad word about him, which is amazing, which is also why I don't think any of us wanted to ever watch him kind of be on a bad team and the O-line stunk and he didn't want to get hit, and it wasn't a fun watch. And so, you know, when the divorce went through, I thought perhaps, and this isn't the right word, but perhaps the family forces compelling him to retire and spend more time with the family, I thought maybe that was mitigated a little bit, right? Like, I thought maybe a lot of that was coming from his wife and their divorce, so now if he wants to keep playing, he's kind of got the free rein to do that. Evidently, that was not the case. I'm happy for him personally. You know, I think, Jim, retirement is scary for someone, especially like him. You know, he doesn't really know what adulthood is like without being an NFL player. I mean, he's been doing it since he was 22. That's a long time. You know, for me, I played 7 years, and it's even scary for someone like me. You know, what do you do when your whole life you've been the football player? Oh, there's Ross Tucker, the football player. You know, and then all of a sudden, it's just gone. And for Brady, it's all he's been doing till mid-40s. So I think the unknown is scary to him. And I also tell people this, you know, there's a lot of other things you can do in life. And I love the gigs I have, and I love coming on with you, and I love the clones. I love everything about the media. But, Jim, when you're in that tunnel before a game and you run out of it and there's 75,000 people screaming, you can't replicate that, bro. Like, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care if you're Bezos or Bill Gates or whoever. You can't replicate that feeling of running out of that tunnel, the excitement, the adrenaline, the nerves, you know, knowing that there's the imminent danger of potential life-altering injury. There's the threat of widespread embarrassment. There's the potential thrill of victory. Like, you will never feel more alive in your entire life than you feel when you're about to take an NFL field. And I really don't blame guys that want to continue to get that feeling as often and as much as they can until they can't anymore, because it is like a drug that you can never buy on the street, that you can never replicate in any capacity.
It's an incredible response. Ross Tucker is my guest. So, Ross, let me ask you something. Laying it out the way you just laid it out, and being that you played in the NFL 7 years, you were the upper 1% of the world, and you just said exactly what it felt like, and you can't replicate that, you can't duplicate that, you can't buy that on the streets. Ross, what if I were to say to you, if I project ahead another few years, that ultimately you will be better at what you're currently doing than what you did then? Would that make you happy or unhappy?
You talking more about me or more about Brady now?
You, dude, because I can tell what that meant to you and how much you got out of that, and you know that it will never be like that ever again. And I think that you're one of those guys, dude. Your second career might be better than your first career, and I'm not in any way trying to negate what you did on the field.
No, you know, in all sincerity, Jim, there's a lot of people that really enjoy the stuff I do, and that means so much to me. Like, I'm at the Eagles game on the sideline on Sunday for Westwood One, Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner in the booth, and all these people want to take selfies with me and stuff, and it's awesome. I got to tell you, I don't really think, for me at least, that it's that complicated. I just really, really love it. Like, I always have, since I was 5 years old, and my parents took me to a Penn State game, and I walked inside and I saw the green grass and the uniforms and 100,000 people. I fell in love with football at first sight, and I've never lost that. Like, five teams in 7 years, and you can ask the guys on those teams. I genuinely don't know that I've ever met someone that I feel like loves football more than me, maybe other than Brady. I mean, Brady was a total, total psycho, and I mean that as a compliment, but I think that comes across in everything. Like, I just love it, bro. Like, I just love it. And when I watch a game, if I'm watching a broadcaster, I just want to be able to tell that they love it. I just want to be able to tell that they realize they got the luckiest job in the world. I mean, I'm 43, okay? I've never worked a day in my life. I've never said to my wife, honey, I got to go do my job or I got to go to work. It was always, got to go to practice, got a game. Now it's, I got to go do a show or I got to go on with Jim or I got to go do a game. I've never called it work or a job in my entire life, and I never will, because I feel like that's incredibly insulting to people that actually do have real jobs that, you know, maybe they don't love. And I respect the crap out of those guys and gals who are kicking butt every day for their families, doing something that maybe they don't love, but they're doing it because they love their families. I recognize how fortunate I am to be able to do what I do for a living.
Ross Tucker joining us. Ross, really quickly, you tweeted this morning that it was an honor to be his teammate. So what was it like to play with him and to see the way he went about preparing and attacking the day every single day?
Yeah, I mean, I have so many stories, it's not even funny. I told you before, what's wild about him is he's the best beer chugger I've ever seen. And I was in a fraternity in college. I've either participated in or witnessed hundreds of beer chugs, and I was shocked at how good Brady was at that. But to me, like the on-field stuff, I played football for 18 years. And the most boring thing you do as an offensive lineman is the quarterback center exchange, right? Like snapping the ball to the quarterback. And in 18 years of football, I never met a quarterback that cared nearly as much about the snap as Brady. I do a lot of public speaking, Jim, and I mention this story every time because this is the lesson I've learned. And honestly, I feel like I learned it a little bit from you, just in the sense of how I know from talking with Kyle, just how hard you prepare, how you grind every single day and you bring it every day. I would be center and Brady would look at me. This is in the spring. This is an OTA. We didn't have shoulder pads on. And before he would call the play, if I was center, he would look at me and say, all right, Ross, you and me, great snap first, great snap first. And I'm 26, 27. I've started 25 games, played in 45. And I was like, okay, Tom, got it. I never wanted to snap the ball so well in my life. Because in his mind, Jim, you know, when you snap the ball, you know, the quarterback puts his hands under center and you're hitting the top hand. If you really have a good snap, it makes this like smack sound when the ball just hits the top hand flush cleanly. In Brady's psychotic mind, that noise, you know, that smack, the perfect snap enabled him to see the defense like a millisecond longer, to get back from center a split second earlier, to throw the ball a fraction of a second before other quarterbacks would. Like, he literally lives his life differently than everybody else. Everybody else is like, oh, gosh, quarterback center. I've been doing this since I was in sixth grade. This is stupid. Not Brady. He literally, every time, it's like a competition with him and the center to see if they can get an even better snap than the play before. And that's how he treats every aspect of his life. He never thinks, I just got it. He's always thinking, I want another opportunity to show and prove I can do it a little bit better.
Again, I don't know anybody that could describe a center quarterback snap or exchange the way Ross Tucker just did, which is why any chance I can, I try to find Ross to put him on the program. He is an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You need to follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. My man, you are still the best, Ross. Nobody like you. Appreciate you so much. We are out of time. That's going to end the show. But that's how you close the show, Ross. Thank you very much, man.
Of course, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
You are the best. I mean, Ross Tucker. Ron, you're supposed to only improve incrementally. You get a little bit better every single day. Ross does not improve incrementally. Ross has like figured out a way to kind of like shock the system. My man gets so much better in leaps and bounds and is clearly one of the best in the business. That was an amazing conversation. Amazing conversation. The ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry as well as access to product experts. Ready to answer your toughest questions, call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. I don't know, you know, of the hundreds or, as he points out, thousands of teammates that Tom Brady had, I don't know that in an eight-minute window you could give a better analysis or in-depth look at who and what Brady is than what Ross Tucker just did, and he did it describing a quarterback snap. Incredible. All right, that's it. My thanks to Ross, Eric Allen, Jamie Dixon. The XR4TI, Clone, see you tomorrow. We're out.